Hello, I'm the Extension Horticulturist and the Director of the Master Gardener Program from NDSU. Now, our Master Gardener Program could very well be the smallest in the country, but we are growing rapidly, so I'm proud to report that. Today, I'm going to talk about the study that I'm conducting to compare the classroom versus our online delivery methods. Now, our program is growing rapidly, and that's partly because of the population boom that we're experiencing. We've had the Bakken oil fields and the related swelling of our population. But in addition, you know, our demographics have changed. We have all these baby boomers that are retiring, and the Master Gardener program is on their bucket list. So I love to hear that. But we have structural changes. Now, we don't have Master Gardener volunteer coordinators at the county level. There's just no funding for that. We do have a robust extension service, so that is helpful. We have 53 ag and natural resource extension agents, but only two of them focus on horticultural issues. So I can't have Master Gardener volunteer coordinators teaching the class, and I really just don't have enough agents to teach the class across the state. And to complicate matters, we have geographic challenges. Now, North Dakota State University is in Fargo. That's on the extreme eastern edge of the state. So I can't be driving all around the state conducting training. That's just not going to work. So I've had to look into long-distance delivery methods. So we offer the Master Gardener core course in three different ways. We, of course, have the in-person class that originates in Fargo, and that's where I teach 40% of the classes, and then we have faculty speakers. And then we have satellite classrooms that are scattered throughout the state, usually 8 or 10 of them, and they're connected to us in Fargo using video conferencing technology. And I will describe that in greater detail. We also have an online course that uses our recorded lectures. So we use Tegrity to record the lectures, and then we post that on Moodle, which is our content management website. Now, a word on our satellite classrooms. We have two-way video conferencing and an audio system. We've been using Polycom video conferencing. So our satellite classrooms essentially have two presentation screens. One is going to show the PowerPoint. The other one will show one of two feeds. It could either be our speaker video or it could be our document camera. So we have the ability to zoom in on a leaf sample or a soil sample. So that has been helpful. Now, in our satellite classrooms, obviously one of the perks of that is the ability to ask questions live. However, I'm not going to lie to you. We had a lot of challenges. I came into this program with completely brown hair, and now you can see all the gray that I have. That's it. That's from 2 years worth of problems. So we had a lot of disruptions, you know, in the internet connection. Sometimes I lose one satellite classroom, sometimes I lose them all, but we're at least guaranteed one disruption per class. We've had audio problems. Our brand new classroom computer would crash. And then we only had part-time technical support. So each one of our classes was 4 hours, but we had a 20-year-old that was assigned to us, and he'd stay for about 2.5 hours of our 4-hour class, and then he had to depart for his college class. And then, of course, things would crash. Now, after 2 years of this, I was wondering, is it worthwhile to continue with video conferencing with all these technological problems we're having? Should I just replace this with our online delivery? Now, before I could make that decision, I thought it was important to gather some data. So I'm midway through a 2-year study, and we're using data from the class of fall 2013. Now, in my program, they have 2 years to complete their 48 hours of volunteer service to become certified. So we're collecting their hours from 2014 and 2015. And I want to see, is there a link between the classroom delivery method and the number of volunteer hours? Are they really volunteering? Does it matter how they took the course? Well, we're halfway through the study, and it appears there are some differences. So here are the average number of volunteer hours by classroom delivery method. Now, on the y-axis, you can see the average number of volunteer hours, And then across the bottom, you can see the classroom delivery method. Now, people that took the class in person or in Fargo or else took the class in a satellite classroom through video conferencing, on average, volunteered somewhere between 23 and 26 hours. So they're about halfway to completing the goal of 48 hours over 2 years. But if you look at my online class, now they took the class at the same time, they heard the same lectures, they had the same materials. They have only completed 15 of the required 48 volunteer hours. Now, I don't know what the 2015 hours are going to look like. I'm going to collect that at the end of October and see if that trend continues. But I also went back and looked at our class evaluations to see, you know, how can I explain this difference between a classroom learning and online learning? So I looked at the evaluations and I asked them, are we better off just dropping our satellite classrooms and just going to our online class? They hated that idea. They said, I would still choose the live class as it gives more opportunity for discussion and idea sharing. Hate to see it all done online alone. The support, knowledge, discussion, sense of community would suffer. Hard to do in isolation. And then finally, the live is quite beneficial. Questions can be answered on and off camera. Learn from the extension agent also, as sometimes we do not want to ask questions on camera. So these are students that took the class in satellite classrooms, and despite all the disruptions, they felt it was valuable. So there appear to be advantages to taking the class by video conference in a remote classroom. They have the ability to ask questions. And we know master gardeners thrive. They really love to ask questions and interact with people. Another advantage is that we can have guest speakers appear in those satellite classrooms so they get some attention. Also, there's the fact that with video conferencing, we have that big screen that's showing video of the speaker. And there's a psychological component to that. They develop a psychological bond when they can see the speaker. Now, with the online program, they have a little tiny box for the speaker, so it's hard to see that person. But the biggest advantage is being able to gather in that satellite classroom, make friends, discuss things, and build that sense of community. They can then volunteer together, and at least our preliminary data shows that they're more likely to complete their volunteer requirements. And then additionally, they're bonding with their extension agent. Now, I've loosely titled this Tips for Success. I haven't been 100% successful in video conferencing. Maybe I should have said learning through the school of hard knocks. Now, I have to admit this fall, we're gonna try a different video conferencing technology, so maybe we'll eliminate some of the problems. But what I would advise is, you know, test your system in advance. But even that's not going to eliminate all your problems. So you need a backup plan. So I record all of my classes. I also give out the telephone number for our classroom. If we lose a connection with a satellite classroom, they can listen in on using the telephone. And then everybody has the ability to download their PowerPoints before class. So if they lose the video feed, they can at least listen in on the telephone and then refer to their PowerPoints. Another tip, zoom in on the speaker. You want to be able to see the facial expressions of the speaker. Invest in a good microphone. You know, that's self-explanatory. And then prepare your class for technical difficulties. You know, temper their expectations from the start. Tell them it's not going to be perfect, and that helps. In addition, you know, make an effort to build rapport with your satellite classrooms. I try and interact with them as much as I can at the beginning of the class, you know, and with their extension agent. We want them to be able to build that relationship with their extension agent and know that person is competent. Other things, repeat the questions that you receive from your in-person classroom. So if you have people sitting in your classroom, make sure to repeat those questions so the satellite classroom can hear them. And then make sure to ask for questions from a specific county or location, and in fact, try and take those questions first. You would be surprised just how jealous those satellite classrooms are of the people sitting right in front of you. There is an intense jealousy. So you have to be a little bit like a parent and show that you're not favoring, you know, one classroom over another. Now, pause after you ask a question. You know, there could be some delay, at least in the audio. And then finally, prepare your guest speakers. You know, let them know what the expectations are. You know, a lot of them just do not have the training in how to engage that many classrooms remotely. All right, hopefully I've allowed some time for questions. And if you have a better way of doing this, I would love to hear that from you too. Thank you. Yes? The question is, what sort of technology are we going to use in the fall? We are going to replace Polycom with Blackboard Collaborate. So that's what's been recommended by our Ag Communications office. Yes? I'm sorry, yes. You're welcome. Any other questions or comments? Yes.
Were the satellite sites at the extension offices?
The question is, were the satellite sites at the extension offices? Yes, they were either at the extension office or at the research and extension centers that we have scattered throughout the state. So yes, very closely tied with our extension agents. So the question is, did we have some of our speakers appear at those satellite classrooms? And yes, we had a couple, but not enough. So I really want to try and build that connection. But unfortunately, most of our faculty are in Fargo on the eastern edge of the state, so it does make it difficult. Yes?
So I'm just about to do an evaluation this fall in Delaware with satellite versus live. And we're going to do it by actually asking them technical questions at the end of each session based on the lecture that they heard. We're going to do it through a Qualtrics survey. They'll have two questions. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, your metric was, did they complete their volunteer hours? Our metric is going to be, how much did they actually learn and how equal is it? Now, we're not doing the online. We're just doing the satellite versus live. So it'll be interesting to see how that comes out.
Yes, it'll be very interesting to see how that comes out. And I think Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota may have done a little something like that too. So I personally think that they learn probably the same amount or probably comparable amounts of material, but I think the fellowship that they have is important too. Thank you very much.